Here we go.
Here we go.
Everything is ready to go. All right, we're on 49B. This is what we call the next set of Gemara. Tilgum Mishnah is called Agadata Gemara, meaning to say it has no halachic implications. It has probably more esoteric meaning than the simple meaning we're going to explain, but we're not going to spend time on this. Gemara makes a number of statements. Since the Mishnah, the last few halachas have been dealing with a person saying, marry me on the condition this, I need to condition this, and condition that, that I have certain qualities, etc., etc. So once we're talking about halacha in terms of people possessing certain qualities, the Gemara now discusses that certain regions of the world and certain peoples of the world and certain types of people have certain qualities more than others. So for example, now this is all understood as, you know, not scientific numbers here, but just a general understanding. Asara kavim chokhma yordul olam. 10 measures of wisdom were brought down into the world. Okay, and Rashi says wisdom means Torah. Okay, there's whatever we want to call all the measures of Torah that came down into the world. Of the 10 measures of Torah that came down to the world, Tisha Nakla Eretz Yisrael. The land of Eretz Yisrael took 9 out of the 10 measures. The Echad and 1/10 of the measures, Kol Olam Kula, the rest of the world gets that. Okay, so what does that mean? So the sense of the Gemara is that by heavenly decree, the land of Israel is more conducive to producing wise men than other lands. The land of Israel is a land. The land itself is geared to produce more Torah learning. 9/10 of all the Torah learning should come from Eretz Yisrael. And that's what's going to be happening for the rest of the Gemara. It's going to be about 15 of these kinds of statements for this. So even though it's not that other people can't, doesn't mean to say in Canada you can't be a Torah scholar. But the truth is, you've got a better opportunity of being a Torah scholar if you go to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you cannot compare the learning of Torah in Eretz Yisrael to the learning of Torah in Canada. So that's so Eretz Yisrael has this advantage of Torah learning. Next, Asara Kavim Yofim Yardu Olam, 10 measures of beauty came down into the world. Mamish, physical beauty. And Tisha, not Yushalayim. Yushalayim took 9 of them. Ve'echad kol olam kula, and the rest of the world took 1. So now Yushalayim is also, and it's befitting, that a place where God's Shechina rests is a place where the beauty of the world should be. Asara kabim ashiris yardolom. 10 measures of wealth came down into the world. And no, it did not go, 9 of them go to Bill Gates. But rather, Tisha Naklu Romoyim. The Romans took 9/10 of it. Kadmonim, the early Romans, right? The Echad Kol Olam Kulo. And 1 measure was the rest of the world. Now, the Mefarshim explain what's with the Romans over here. Well, Rome is a descendant of, going back, who is their first ancestor? Esav. No, what do you know about Esav? When Yitzchak gave the blessings to Yaakov and Esav, he did bless Esav with physical wealth. You look clearly in the bracha that he gave Esav was physical wealth, while Yaakov got the spiritual wealth and physical things as well. So therefore, if you're looking for wealth, you have to go into the goyish world if you want the majority of the wealth. And it's taka where you're going to find it. I mean, though, not to say that there aren't wealthy Jews, but still 9/10 of it has gone to the west. Okay. Yud kavi manius your own. There are 10 portions of poverty have come into the world. Now, who's got all the poverty in the world? Tisha nokla bavel. Bavel took 9/10 of the poverty. Ve'echad kol olam kulo. And 1 portion goes to the rest of the world. All right. Asara kavim gasus yardalom. There are 10 measures of arrogance have gone into the world. Not Tisha Notla Elam. There is a place in the world called Elam. Was an ancient nation in the world. The commentary says now southwestern region of Iran. Fine. Ve'echad kol olam kulo. And the rest of the world got 1/10 of the arrogance in the world. Now, at this point, we're now asked a question. Wait, we find a pasuk that seems to show that arrogance comes from somewhere else, not just from Elam, but from other places. And the Gemara asks, "Vegasus lebavel nachis." What about arrogance? Hasn't arrogance descended to Babylonia? Because we have a text that seems to say that Babel got a lion's share of the arrogance and not Elam. But Haksiv, there's a pasuk that says, Va'asa einai ve'era. I lifted up my eyes and I saw. And behold, there were two women and wind was in their wings. It's all mystical stuff here. And their wings were like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up an epha measure, carrying it between them, the earth and the sky. Long pasuk over here. And then I said to the angel that was speaking with me, Anna Hema Malicha Seva, where are they taking this epha? Where are these winged creatures taking this measure? The Yomerland, they said to me, Leave Naslo Bayis Be'eret Shinar, to build a house for her in the land of Shinar. So what's going on over here? So look at the commentary. The verse records a vision of the prophet Zechariah, wherein two winged women took an epha, that's a holly utensil used for measuring, to the land of Shinar, which is Babel. That's Babel now, right? As an earlier verse indicates, the women were symbolically transporting the evil inclination. This is illustrating the essence of a wicked woman trapped inside the Eifa. That's earlier Psukim. Gemara now cites Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of the verse, which sees the winged women, those that were transporting the Eifa, as representing abstract concepts in their own right. In his view, they symbolize the characteristics of arrogance and false flattery. Okay, it's a long pasuk with all kinds of illusions, and Rabbi Yochanan says about the pasuk, Rabbi Yochanan says, what were they carrying with them? Into Babel. He says, Zu Chanufa Vegas Saruch Girardoval. This was an allusion to flattery and arrogance that came to Babel. So see, the Pasuk, this is the only Pasuk where the Navi talks about arrogance going to a specific country. And it goes to Babel. So it's Babel and not Elam. So why did the Gemara say that Elam has 9/10 of the arrogance, when indeed we see that Babel has 9/10 of the arrogance? Okay, I don't know if you want to go into all the proofs, that a stork is this and how he proved that.
Where is the arrogance?
So it's a question. So now I have to see an answer. So it's a machlokas, where is it? So he says, yes, lahacha nachis. Yes, it was to hear that Babel originally, the arrogance originally came to Babel, but the Gemara is speaking after that. Vishtarbuvi Udishrulasam, it moves from Babel to Elam. You're right, in the time of Zechariah, the arrogance was in Babel, but subsequent to that, the arrogance has moved to Elam. And he's going to even prove it to you. Tekanami, I'll prove it to you, Diktani, because you look at the precise reading of the verse says, Leave no slobais to build the house, right? Now the house was only built, which says was apparently being built for only one of two women that transported the epha. So look how he explains. When describing the inhabitant of the house in Shinar that was built with this arrogance, the verse uses the singular la for her rather than the plural lahen. Seemingly this implies that only one of the two women who came to Shinar subsequently stayed there, as others moved ahead. More understands to indicate that only flattery, there were two things, flattery and arrogance. And there were two women, only one stayed in Babel. So the imagery is that only the flattery stayed in Babel, and the woman that represented arrogance left Babel and went to Elam. Okay, fine. Let's move on. Shma Mina, we see that's a proof. We can infer that the woman representing arrogance was no longer in Shinar, and she had traveled on to Elam. Okay, that's a Gemara answer. So yeah, maybe in the beginning it passed through. Arrogance passed through Babel, but it ended up in Elam. We're still not finished with this. Aini, but is this really so? V'omar Mar, the master said, Simen Legasas Anius. There's a sign. Don't we know that poverty is a sign of arrogance? In other words, people who are arrogant are poor, because arrogance causes poverty. A person's too arrogant to work for certain people, too arrogant to ask for money, etc., etc. So, and wait a minute. So, we already said where poverty was. Where was poverty? In Babylonia. Right? Earlier. A couple lines of war was in Babylonia. Wait a minute. Yeah. So we said the arrogance left Babylonia and went to Shinar, but doesn't arrogance and poverty go together? Right? Let's just finish up the question. Vanias Bavavalika. So since poverty is in Babylonia, we would expect Babylonia to be arrogant. It should go hand in hand. Gemara seems to say that if you want to know a sign of an arrogant person, it's going to be poor. So wait a minute. You wanted to say that the arrogance is in Shinar. But we said, wait a minute, the verse says it's in Babel. It said, no, it left Babel and went to Shinar. But we've already earlier said that there's poverty in Babel. And don't we say that poverty and arrogance goes together? So really, the arrogance should still be in Babel if the poverty is still in Babel. That's what it's asking. Yeah? So Gemara says, wait a minute, you don't know what it meant earlier when it said poverty. Poverty earlier didn't mean financial poverty. But my Aeneas, what did we mean earlier when we said poverty? We meant Aeneas the Torah. We meant poverty in Torah knowledge. So, yes. So arrogance leads to poverty in Torah for a number of reasons. All right, so it's talking about, were you talking about where that the sign of arrogance, in other words, what he means is the sign of arrogance is poverty. It means more the poverty of Torah. That's what he's saying. Arrogance leads to poverty in Torah for a number of reasons. First, an arrogant man lacks humility necessary to listen carefully to Torah scholars and assimilate the wisdom they teach. Second, an arrogant man tends to place exaggerated confidence in his mental prowess. So that's what it means. So really, the real poor place is still Shinar. When the Gemara earlier said that it meant the poverty of Torah. So that and there's a proof that poverty, real poverty, is poverty. You got a problem? Shelley had a question.
Before.
I'm sorry.
One question.
Yeah.
Before you said the definition of poverty, because you would think the wealthier person is the more likely they're
going. Yes, so that's why it bears out now. It bears
exactly.
out now.
But more important, we say it's poverty in Torah, but the Talmud, the whole Svimbel Babel, I mean, all this was done in Babel. How can we say it's a land of poverty for Torah knowledge?
I think it means the Babylonians, not the Jews.
But they're not supposed to, they're not studying Torah. I mean, we have some of the greatest rabbis in Babel.
Yeah, I hear your question. I hear your question. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. Now, what's the proof that poverty means poverty in Torah? Dichsiv is a pasuk in Shir Shirim says Achas lanu ketana v'shadayim ein lo. Simple meaning is we have a young sister and she doesn't have developed breasts. So what is that supposed to mean? Remember Rabbi Yochanan says, Zol Elam, this is Elam. What does that mean? What does it mean? It's a sister, but it's not developed. Shezach Salilmo, that it merited to learn Torah, but Velozachsa Lilameg, but didn't merit to teach Torah. So therefore Elam was inferior. No. He's saying the poverty is in Elam, not in Babylonia. He says Elam was inferior to Babylonian areas of Torah knowledge. Hence, she's like a sister of Babylonia, has not yet reached maturity. The Gemara has thus resolved the difficulty just raised. Since Elam was impoverished in the field of Torah knowledge, it makes sense that inhabitants suffered from arrogance. That's what he's saying. So the monetary poverty could have been in Babel, but the Torah poverty is in Elam. That's what it meant to say. Okay, that answers your question. So both Daniel and Mordechai lived in Shushan, the capital city of Elam. Wait a minute, so there was Torah there. Neither of these great scholars merited to disseminate Torah to the broad masses of their communities. So they were merited to learn Torah, not to teach. And that's where the poverty of Torah isn't in the scholars, but it's in the teaching. Allegorically speaking, it was as if they lacked breasts with which to nurse the nation. A breast is to nurse. So you have, a breast can have a lot of milk, but you know, you could be smart, but you don't have the ability to give the milk. Babylon, on the other hand, did give rise to sages that disseminated Torah, produced Ezra the scribe, for example, blah, blah, blah. So when it says that Babel was poor, what does it mean? It was poor financially. When the Pasuk says you have arrogance with poverty, you have arrogance with poverty, Elam was arrogant, and Elam was poverty in Torah. But Babel was not arrogant, was not poor in Torah, was poor in money. And that you do see all the time. Where there's a lot of Torah, there's a lot of poverty. Taka, that's what you see. So that all fits in. Good. So that clarified your question.
Shushan was in Elam?
I guess so. That's what he's saying. Somewhere in Iraq. Somewhere in there, over there. Okay, moving on to some other famous tens. Asura Kamin Vuri Yerlam, 10 measures of strength came down in the world. Tisha Natlo Parsim, the Persians took 9, and the rest of them took 1. Asar Kavim Kinim Yardulon, 10 measures of lice descended into the world. Tisha Natlo Modai, Modai took 9 of them, and the rest got 1. It's all mystical things here. Asar Kavim Kshavim Yardulon, 10 measures of witchcraft came into the world, and this one we know for sure. Tisha Natlo Mitzrayim, Egypt took 9 out of the 10, that we know from the Torah. That Paro said, you're not impressing me with your stuff. We do this too as well. Asar Kav Negoimirun, 10 measures of disease descended into the world. Look at this one. 9 Natlu Chazirim, the pigs took 9 of them, and the rest took 1. So maybe that's why you shouldn't eat pig. Okay, Yud Kavim Snus, Yor Lolam, 10 measures of promiscuity came into the world. So who do you think is going to win that one? Tisha, Norda, Arvaya, Arabia took 9 out of the 10. Asara, Kavim, Asasharam, 10 measures of chutzpah came into the world. Who took the main measure of that? Tisha, Notlog, Mishan. Mishan took 9 of them. Now what is Mishan? Mishan is an island located in the juncture of the Euphrates and Tigris rivers in what is now southern Iraq. More later states it is so far that so far as purity is descent is concerned, Mishan is dead. I mean, many of his inhabitants are mamzerim. That's what he's saying. They're illegitimate children. Here the Gemara expresses the same basic idea, knowing that the inhabitants of Mishan tend to be especially brazen. The characterization of evidently alludes to the abundance of mamzerim. If you have mamzerim, that means they don't care about illicit relationships. So you can go over there to find more of that. Now, this one we got to explain. The next, so that these we could let go. It doesn't matter. It's not getting anybody upset. But this one, you come home and tell it's going to make a problem now. Asara kam sigaram, 10 measures of talking came into the world. Who took the lion's share of that?
The woman.
Tisha notlanoshim, women took 9 of them. Okay, so now you got to understand what that means. So the way we explain it is, that, you know, conversation, talking is a way that a person is able to express their feelings, their innermost feelings. While normally, it's very hard to express one's feelings, and men for sure are not very good at that, and therefore they don't talk a lot. Talking a lot is not necessarily a negative thing. Talking a lot means you have the way, because the real reason God gave human beings the ability to talk is why? Not to make noise, and not to just say, I'll buy a quart of milk at the counter. The reason I gave you the talk is to bring out the neshama that's inside you. The deep feelings inside of you are meant to come out via speech and to be shared with other people, which is a positive thing. That's why when man was created, it says he was created with a spirit of life, and the Targum says the ability to speak. Now, we were associating the ability to speak with the neshama, so that's got to be something positive. So therefore, who is able to express their neshama more, that's the women. And therefore they speak a lot because they have the ability to express. We mean to say it's in a positive way. We don't mean to say that they speak 9 times more Lashon Hara. Now, of course, any gift that you have can be abused. So since women have the necessary, they have the skill of being able to articulate their feelings more, which is a positive thing, if God forbid a woman would abuse that gift, then they talk and could chatter and say more gossip, 9 times more gossip in the world, just like anything else in the world. But it is not meant as a negative. Okay? Got out of that one, eh? Tisha Kavim Shikrusharam, 10 measures of drunkenness came into the world. Who took the drunkenness? Tisha Natlu Kushim, the Ethiopians took that one. Asara Kavim Shenyar, 10 measures of sleep came into the world. This one we'll all agree with. Tisha Natlu Avadim, the slaves took 9 out of the 10. Because what do they care? They don't make any money on this. A slave doesn't own. Remember, a slave doesn't own anything. You guys, you're not going to sleep because you know if you don't go to work, you don't make money. It doesn't happen. You're not going to have anything. The slave, whatever a slave has, it belongs to the owner. So what does it matter to him if he sleeps a little more? It doesn't matter to him. He has no way of ever growing himself financially. So the slaves took 9 out of the 10. Okay, there's much more mystical things behind this, but we're not going to spend time on this. Okay, now we're going to go to a new Mishnah, and this new Mishnah should not be very foreign to you, because we already quoted it in the context of the last sugya from the last Mishnah, so a lot of these ideas will be familiar to you. Again, a man is marrying a woman and he makes conditions with the kiddushin. And this ready was ready was brought. Amanashani Kohen. He says, I'm betrothing. Now remember, we said the way we explained those when you sent it through an agent, if you recall. The way we explained the Gemara earlier is when an agent, a man sends an agent, and the woman is, or the woman sent an agent and says, listen, this man is going to give you kiddushin, and he told me he's a Kohen. Right? So Amanashani Kohen, the condition that I'm a Kohen, but we find out, but then it's a Levi, we find it's a Levi, so he misrepresented himself. Or the opposite, even for better, Levi, he said he was a Levi, but then it's a Kohen, you find it is a Kohen. Okay, now the Gemara is going to list 10 examples, all of them are going to say it's not a good Kedushin, even if it's an upgrade to the person. That was the Gemara asked, so what about Reb Shimon? Remember before, Reb Shimon argued if it's an upgrade in a financial thing, he held it is a good Kedushin, while Tanakhama said not. Here, there's no Reb Shimon here saying it's okay. The Gemara was debating, well, does it mean he would argue, would he not argue? The Gemara concluded he would not argue he would agree that if it's elevated status, he wouldn't. So many of these are elevated status as the Gemara dealt with it before. So let's go through all these cases over here. Nesin, or if the guy says he's a Nesin, remember he said a descendant of the Givonim, which is a better status of Vinimtsa Mams, you find it's a Mamzer, or the reverse. A Mamzer, he said he was a Mamzer, Vinimtsa Nesin, Vinimtsa Nesin, which is an upgrade. Okay, now we're going to get to some examples that you weren't aware of. The guy says, I'm a Ben Air, I'm a city slicker. Okay, I'm a townsman, right? But then they found out Vinimtsa Ben Krach, he's a city dweller. Okay, so let's look at the bottom. Many people consider city life less attractive than life in this one. In other words, the ear is the smaller city, the crop is the bigger city. The guy says, place I'm from Meaford, okay? Meaford, Ontario, they find it's from Toronto. Alright? So, in general, big city livers, I guess in the Gomorrah's time, is not so good. And look what he says. Rashi knew this. Yeah. Cities tend to be crowded and goods are generally more expensive there. It's more expensive in Toronto than in Meaford.
That's right.
So the guy tells the girl from France, and he says, listen, I live in Canada, I'm from Meaford. Right? And then they find out he's from Toronto. Okay, cost of living is more expensive. So that's a downgrade. Or the reverse, Ben Krach, he says, I'm from a big city. Well, Mimsa Ben Air finds him in a small city. Okay, Almanas Shabesi Karva Marchatz, and the condition that my house is close to the bathhouse, which is an advantage when I have to go to the mikvah, it's close. Vinimtsa Rachak, and it's far away. Or the opposite, Rachak, he says it's far away. Vinimtsa Karva, you find that it's closer. Yeah, I don't know what would be wrong with that, but maybe there's a lot of noise. If you're near the bathhouse, you know, the parking lot, people honking, it could be open up late at night. You don't always want to be next to that thing. Anyway, this was the one the Gemara already brought already. Amanashe Shlibas, or Shichum Gels, on the case of a daughter or a maidservant that's grown up, and to which we had to amend it, not necessarily means grown up, it could mean grown up, it could mean also an important person who's sophisticated. The Ein Lo, we find out he doesn't have, or the opposite, Amanashe Ein Lo, he says, I don't have, the Yesh Lo, he does have. What else? Amanashe She'ein Lo Banim, the guy says, I'm marrying you, you know I don't have any sons. The Yesh Lo, and he does have sons. Oh, Amanashi Yesh, or he says, I do have sons. Vainly doesn't say. Okay, now, all of these, Ubakulam, and in every one of these situations, Doug Moore is going to add a point here. Afal Pisha Amr, even though she, the woman, says, when she heard all this, he told me this, and it was that, and all that. And now she says like this, in my heart, when I heard this, she didn't say this now, beforehand, in other words, she just told the agent, he's going to marry me, he told me he's a Kohen. He's going to marry me, he told me he's a Levi, etc., etc. She didn't say anything more. Didn't say anything more. Then the question is, well, what do we assume what she meant, what she said? Well, the Gemara is assuming, well, any changes she wouldn't like. Remember that, in these cases, Gemara, there's no machlokas. Any changes she wouldn't like. That's what we assume. Now here the Gemara is inserting a certain clause. Even though after the fact, afterwards, she says, you know what, really, in my heart, I would have married him either way. Even if he wasn't a kohen. Right. He wasn't like, I mean, I told you he's a kohen, but in my heart, even if he wasn't, I was willing to marry him. But she said that after the fact. Right? Later on. In other words, she sends the agent saying, Chaim Yankel is gonna get married to me, go receive the kedushin from him. And he told me he's a kohen. It's amazing, he's a kohen. So the shliach going thinks he's a kohen, takes it, thinks he's a kohen. But after she gets it, he says, and by the way, tell her, I'll meet her at Levy Street. Oh, you're a Levy. Yeah, he's a Levy. She comes back, he's a Levy. The halacha is, the mistress is not married. Now, let's say now the woman says, you know what? In my heart, when I told you it's a kohen, I made up my mind that if it wasn't a kohen, it would be okay. But she didn't tell that. She didn't say that to the agent. So now, there's something going on in her heart, and there's something that she's telling the agent. So now, what wins out the day? So the Mishnah is saying, even though afterwards she reveals us, she's not lying. Right. She's revealing this. You know, when I told you it was a kohen, in my heart, I would be willing to settle for less. Even if it wasn't a kohen, it would be okay. In my heart, it wasn't like I was darn set on it. But what did you say, though? You said, he's a kohen. And we kind of understood. Why did you have to say it was a kohen? In other words, why didn't she just say to the agent, Chaim Yankel will give you a ring when you go to such a place? Why did the woman have to tell the agent any of the details?
Yeah.
So now, obviously, when you're saying details, you're saying something as you're sending the agent that must have something to do with the agency. That's what we would think. And now, so therefore, the question is, what do we go with? Do we go with what she said to the agent? Or do we go with what was feeling in her heart? So the Gemara says, even though in her heart she would have accepted it, but that's not what she said. And if you really would have accepted it, you should have been quiet and just said, receive the Kedushin, period. So the Gemara answers off, Eina Mekudeshes, it's not a good Kedushin. We do not follow what was in her heart. Now, tomorrow, that's going to be the whole sugya. How do we know we don't go with what's within the heart versus what's what the person says? That point has to be proved.
Right.
The more Miss just saying it, we don't go with what's after the heart.
Yeah.
And that's a good issue. Well, maybe really what's in the heart is what the really thinks.
How are you supposed to know what's in your heart?
We'll deal with that tomorrow. We'll deal with that tomorrow. Let's just get the point today. Tomorrow we'll really sink into this. Now, this is all who fooled who. The man fooled the woman, right?
Yeah.
It's all the man fooled the woman. Now, let's just read this point over here. Even when the woman claims that the man's condition made no difference to her, that she would have agreed to marry him even had she known the true state of affairs, still the accusation is invalid. The reason for this is that the man's stipulation was not met, and the woman did not, at the time of Kiddushin, express her intention to marry him nevertheless. That's the point. Her desire to do this was nothing more than an unexpressed intention. And as Gemara soon delineates, unexpressed intentions are not recognized in Jewish law. Okay? Now one last point. Now, everything we said was where who seemed to fool who. The man seemed to fool the woman, right? But what about the reverse? What about the reverse? What if the man thought that the woman was rich, poor, blah, 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 all these things, a woman, city woman, blah, blah, blah. V'chein im shehi taso. In the same case, apply if she is the one who misleads him. That is, the same rule applies. If a man betrothed a woman on condition that her claim about herself was true, and it turned out that her claim was false, the Kedushin is void even if he says he intended to betroth her in any case. In other words, let's say he sent a shliach, let's say, to Mary and says, listen, go marry this woman. And she told me that she is lives in her mikvah face, or she has this redeeming factor. And even though in his heart he said, you know, even if she didn't, I would marry her anyway, but he didn't say it. So she fools him, it works the same way. So tomorrow and the next day, it'll probably take 2 days, in this sugya, we're going to explain what's the source that what's in your heart doesn't count. Notwithstanding anything I said before, we could send a letter of thanks to Stephen Harper. Okay. Notwithstanding, not for anything else, but that he shouldn't be mad at the Jews. Imagine if he's going to say that not one Jew thanks him. He thinks he did this a big toiva. He thinks, put yourself in his head. What does he think? Look how I'm going out on the line for the Jews. Right? So we should at least thank him. Yeah. Not because I needed him to say it.
Yeah.
But as a mensch, we should thank him.
But we learned in the Torah,
it's
we should be grateful to good kings.
You don't have to
say that.
We don't have to say what you say doesn't help us, but just say, thank you for your support.
Saying Gemara, we should be grateful to good kings and should show.
But he hasn't done anything for us.
But this is more than anybody
else. Let me put it this way. Let me tell you one thing.
Yes.
Canada is the only country in the world that discriminates against religions and comes through education. And it's in his country.
This is local
level. It doesn't matter. The country can impose laws. The country can send funds.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so he's quiet. He's still about this. Well, the things that cost money, he's not saying anything. The fact that you didn't have to spend, if you go to the States, you get it paid for. You go to other provinces, yes. It's even paid for.
It will be resolved.
And it's not been paid for, and he doesn't do anything about it. So, you know what?
Catholics have priority.
So again.
Okay, that's fine.